oxygen cleanest. I take a deep hit, help my mind stay the greenest. I'm already awake, so I'm not drinking coffee. Don't want a cigarette, cause it's a form of slavery. Walk into the store, cause I need a few items. The sun heats my blood, like a hit of vitamins. I need to buy some food for my dreads. I can't remember why, but I need a spool of thread.
Welcome. This is Jay Thiemeyer for Hole in the Bucket, KBOO's monthly homeless show. Actually, we'll have an additional show on the 30th of this month. It's the second Wednesday and the occasional fifth. I'm with co-host Mike Anderson.
Good evening, KBOO.
And tonight's show, we'll start off with talking about the faith-based initiative, which was instituted at the beginning of the Bush administration. And I would like to read from an article that was published at the beginning, February 2nd, 01. It said, the Bush administration's plan for a sharp increase in federal funding of social service programs run by religious institutions is both reactionary and fraudulent. It is an assault on the constitutional principle of separation of church and state, one of the fundamental tenets of American democracy. It is also a sham, since the social crisis in America dwarfs the resources and capabilities of church-based programs, no matter how well-intentioned. The short-term political calculus of the initiative is obvious. It is a payoff to the Christian right. Bush attempted to disguise the fact that hundreds of millions of federal dollars, if not billions, would flow into the coffers of the fundamentalist groups, many of them characterized by religious bigotry and racism, by attempting to disguise the fact by holding the January 30th announcement, this was 01, of the program at a Christian school in a predominantly black neighborhood in Washington, D.C. This tactic of bait and switch has become typical of this administration, as we know. The inclusiveness is purely symbolic, the article continues. Rules for the faith-based programs issued the following day permitted the religious institutions receiving funds to discriminate in employment by hiring only co-religionists or barring gay employees, for instance, and allow them to require specific religious practices such as Bible reading, participation in prayer services, or other forms of worship as a condition of receiving aid. Unlike federal funding under previous conditions or stipulations of the church-based Head Start programs, soup kitchens, and other charitable activities, religious groups given federal contracts under the Bush plan would be permitted to proselytize actively, seeking to turn aid recipients into converts. Bush defended his policy as though it were, in fact, an affirmation of civil rights. Quote, government, of course, cannot fund and will not fund religious activities. But when people of faith provide social services, we will not discriminate against them. Unquote. This is typical of the Bush administration's reversal of reality. He is trying to depict here the gutting of the Civil Rights Act as, in fact, establishing equal rights for the conservative Christians to impose their bigoted agenda. This same article, this same writer had a second article later on in the year on July 23rd titled U.S. House Sanctions Anti-Gay Discrimination by Religious Groups. It says, The U.S. House voted July 19th of 01 to approve the Bush administration's faith-based initiative, which funnels billions in federal funds to church-based charities while giving such groups the legal right to engage in discrimination on the basis of religion, sexual orientation, or marital status. There was little debate in the Congress over the main thrust of the bill, which allows federal funds to be used by religious organizations in a wide variety of social services, from youth recreation to drug counseling and housing for the elderly, the whole span of social services. That in itself is an indication of how far both parties have moved from the longstanding democratic principle of separation of church and state. What in this article, the author points to a particularly outrageous revelation. It says, quote, the controversy over religious and anti-gay discrimination erupted after the Washington Post, this again is back in 01, the very beginning of the Bush administration, when the faith-based initiative was first in place. The Washington Post obtained and published internal documents of the Salvation Army showing that the group had given its support to the Bush initiative in return for language in the bill which would exempt church groups from local and state anti-discrimination laws. Church groups are already exempt from federal anti-discrimination laws like the 65 Civil Rights Act when it comes to hiring, promotion, and other employment-related activities. In recent years, however, a dozen states and more than 100 cities have passed laws either banning discrimination against gays and lesbians or requiring employers to provide medical and other benefits to unmarried couples or the partners of gay employees on the same basis as married couples. In other words, things were progressing in a reasonable fashion before Bush. Quote, The Salvation Army saw an opportunity in the Bush faith-based initiative to gain federal sanction for its bigotry. The church leaders hired several high-powered Washington lobbyists, including Stephen Minicus, a member of the Bush election campaign's pioneers, those who raised at least $100,000 apiece for the candidate, and Mark Holman, former chief of staff to Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge, later head of the Homeland Security, and a longtime personal friend of Bush political counselor Karl Rove. Minicus' lobbying firm is on a $25,000 a month contract with the Salvation Army, while Holman's law firm was described in the Salvation Army report as the church's, quote, direct liaison with the White House staff, unquote. According to the Salvation Army documents, Karl Rove was the first White House official contacted in the campaign to strengthen the church's right to discriminate against gays and unmarried couples, followed by Don Eberle, the deputy director of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives. Salvation Army leaders then met personally with President Bush. Eberle promised the church that if the Salvation Army supported the legislation incorporating the faith-based initiative, the Bush administration would issue a regulation by executive order enabling it to practice anti-gay bias in the workplace. Now, this is the nature of the faith-based initiative, and we're going to proceed to talk about how that impacts the allocation of funding dealing with social services for the most vulnerable. I would like at this point to encourage people to phone in. The number is 503-231-8187. If you have any reactions or any questions or any contribution to make, please call.
So as a starting off place, Jay, as the host with the most for today's show, with the research that you've done on this, one of the things I'm interested to hear you talk about for our listeners as you have set this stage is one of the things that that we know is that there's people who feel very strong about their faith and religion who are out in the world doing really good work. Mm-hmm. And then there is the ongoing role of religion as a political tool and way to manipulate people. And I think I just would be interested to hear some comments from you on that differentiation, especially as we dig into what's really going on here.
Well, I'm looking at a recent article by Paul Krugman in the New York Times, where he distinguishes between the people who are trying to insinuate and impose the evangelical Christian right agenda regarding, say, discrimination on the basis of a sexual predilection or not sharing the same religious beliefs in employment and in provision of services, distinguishing that, which is clearly wrong, from people who simply hold different beliefs, like Catholic Charities doesn't try to impose their belief system on people in need of services, as distinct from, say, the Portland Rescue Mission, which requires you to attend a service prior to getting a meal. Now, they have a right to do that, but they can't at the same time receive federal funding if they're going to discriminate or impose their religious agenda.
So, in other words, just to be very clear, that the thrust of what we're talking about here is not necessarily an attack on faith-based organizations attempting to deal with the massive challenges we have around poverty, but rather those who do and cannot separate out their belief system from keeping their doors open, especially when they have public funds, or exactly because they have public funds, to that wider public whose funds they belong.
Right. I mean, taxpayers shouldn't be supporting an activity that, you know, has to do with imposing religious beliefs, you know, counter to a person's freedom of choice, if you want to put it that way. It's interesting that while Bush talks about equal rights for the Christian right agenda, in having the right to impose, it's interesting. Let me quote the way they phrase this, because this is really interesting. It's all a matter of phrasing, for one thing. This is from the article I was just quoting from. As now written, the faith-based initiative bill states that a religious group, quote, shall have the right to maintain its autonomy from federal, state, and local government, including such organizations' control over the definition, development, practice, and expression of its religious beliefs, unquote. Nearly all fundamentalist Christian groups describe anti-gay bigotry in such terms. The Salvation Army, for instance, calls its hostility to gay relationships part of its, quote, theological foundations, unquote. So it's kind of specious language, but what it boils down to is the imposition of bigotry and, in some cases, racism, and managed to circuit that prejudice and access federal funding and taxpayer money to do their social work.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that's always struck me as odd about the faith-based initiative, and I think sort of tips off us Americans as to, you know, there's something deeper going on here, is that I always understood the Republican line to be –